Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicle's Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Well, I bet Original Joe's is jumping today in North Beach and in Westlake. Boy, I could go for the nice lunch out there today. Nice to have Bruce Jenkins with us from the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you today?
Doing well. Strapped up to an ice machine, and, you know, what could be better than that?
So what is your rehab like? For those who don't know, Bruce had the full knee replacement a week ago Tuesday, I guess. Last Tuesday, it's two weeks this Tuesday, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's a pretty big deal. If you look at the incision, you get kind of horrified, but it's basically three times a day you do about an hour's worth of exercises just to work that joint, work it in all different directions, and you know, it takes up a good part of the day, but I'm just trying to be doing exactly what they say. They say if you do the exercises and don't slack off, it's going to really pay off in the end. So
great. Well, great to hear you. I'm glad you're back with us. I got on a little bit of a rant last night about replay. And, you know, of course, this play at third base, Ron Wotus and I talked about it. And Duggar steals with one out, trying to get to third so he can be driven in by panic and sacrifice fly. It's a tight game. He's called out. Replay says inconclusive. And that's the end of the story. We never see their view. We never hear from them. We never hear from anybody. And in this world of transparency, I just think football does it. Other sports do it in the open. Baseball does it behind the curtain. I think it's time to change.
Well, there's no doubt. I've long advocated for having a crew on site. I know it costs more money, but, you know, this is a $14 billion industry or whatever it is. I'd like to see a three-man replay crew on site, and when the decision comes down, you know what they're seeing. And if there's any controversy about it, I know it's going to take maybe a little more time, but I think actually it would take less time if they're on site. And, you know, forget about the challenges and all that. If it's a questionable play, just go ahead and look at it. They're right there, and it removes a lot of the just the uncertainty over the whole thing. I mean, last night was a joke. I mean, it was a close play, but as Mike Kruko said, it's unbelievable that they didn't overturn the call. And then you have, you know, the whole matter of should Duggar have been running. My take on that is it's great if you get to third, but if you're going to take a big risk like that, you have to make it obvious that you knew you had the bag. You can't leave it up to a replay. It can't be that close. You've got to burn them. And all of a sudden, you're at third.
It was a tough spot, and that's really the last good chance the Giants had to tie that game up. You had a left-handed batter in the box in panic, and Duggar said he saw something on video with Garrett that led him to believe he could steal that bag. And really, I mean, in reality, he did steal the bag. It was just too close, as you said, Bruce.
Yeah, they thought they could run on Garrett. The other thing, Bruce, let's face it, I wish they had nine guys like Duggar.
And there is
a learning curve with him. And, you know, in 6 months or next year at this time, maybe he steals the bag standing up.
Well, exactly. I mean, he's been burned on the bases before, but I don't think you're going to take the aggressiveness out of him, and they don't want that to happen. You know, you're going to have some unfortunate incidents along the way. You know, the whole team is going through a bit of a, you know, a struggling period here, trying to regain their respectability. And as long as he keeps flying around the bases and taking a few chances, I don't have a big problem with it.
Yeah. Boy, the catch he almost made, I don't know if we talked about it, when he slammed into the center field wall Friday night. And I thought face first into the wall. He's a kid who's had the shoulder separation. I can't say enough about him. I really mean it.
Well, he's just all out. You know, when he came back from the shoulder, he was already, you know, diving and everybody's holding their breath. But that's just the way he plays. And, I love it. You know, hopefully he's not Pete Reiser, where he runs into too many walls and his career ends too soon.
Yeah, he's been a phenomenal player. I want to talk, Bruce, about what happened last night with Derek Holland after the ball game, where he makes a comment about the fake injury that, we've been talking about it all morning. The Phantom DL has always been around. It's not going away. But to call out the front office in the way he did is over the line, I think.
Oh, no.
Well,
it's leave and tell him he's finished.
It's not something you want. The feeling for me is that I don't think he would be a renegade on this. I think he feels like he was speaking for a good deal of the clubhouse, or he wouldn't speak out like that. I mean, he's not a big, you know, guy to ruffle feathers. He's the good humor man, and I really think he thought that the feeling in the clubhouse was so pervasive about not only the fake injuries, but the constant revolving door of outfielders. You never know who's going to be out there next. It gets to kind of a boiling point, and I think he felt like he was on safe ground speaking for the team, or at least a good part of it.
Well, I think he did speak for the veterans, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
The young players, obviously, are just glad to be here. And kind of what Farhan needs to do, eventually he's got to weed everybody out and get those kind of players where you can make 60,000 moves a year and no one's going to say anything about it. Because if you do it with veterans, look, well, let's jump to Samardzija for a second. He comes out of the game, 87 pitches, 4 innings. He gives up more first-inning runs again. They've been outscored 40-3 in the first inning. Maybe an opener. But then again, you get a guy like Samardzija. He says, I don't want any part of that. And at some point, you're going to have to deal with an opener to help these guys get out of the first inning.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Farhan is bringing the mentality that he brought to the Dodgers, where there was all kinds of shenanigans with the rotation, and the guys seem to be pretty much okay with it. And now he gets here, he gets guys like Samardzija and Pomerantz and Holland. You know, these guys are old-school pitchers, which to me it's not such a negative to want to pitch deep into the game. That's their whole history. But you've got a bunch of guys who want to do that. They're not really up for faking an injury, even if there's some legitimacy to it. And so he's fighting that. And the problem is when the season started, these guys were all pitching great, and it seemed okay. And there was no real reason to get too radical with openers or bullpenning or anything like that. But now collectively they're all kind of struggling. And everybody's searching for answers, and not everybody's digging what they're hearing.
Well, we're talking to Bruce Jenkins. That's exactly it. It's about execution now, right, Bruce?
I mean, yeah.
10 days ago, this wasn't a story, and now nobody's getting outs except for maybe Madison Bumgarner, you got to start turning your head towards something else.
Yeah, I really wonder where it's going. I mean,
yeah, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just the beginning of the new generation and the transition. And, this is going to, as I said, this is a four-month season for me. By July 31st, I think things are going to happen. And I think that's the way Farhan's got to do it. And he's got to put his mark on this team other than the last four spots on the roster. And that's what's got to happen. Boy, Marty Brenneman, Bruce, he retires this year. It's his last game here in Cincinnati with the Reds today at Oracle Park. He's here with the Reds, obviously. Your thoughts on Marty Brenneman?
Yeah, he's one of those guys, you know, it used to be when the Reds would get in the playoffs, you'd hear these local voices on the air on the national telecast. It goes way back to Al Michaels. I remember he was on the NBC broadcast. You go, well, this guy's really good. And you hear a little bit of Marty Brenneman, you know, big, big booming voice. It's the kind of voice that never really gets old. You hear it in his son, Tom. Tom's got that same really strong presence. He's opinionated, but never out of line. And, you know, he's the voice of Cincinnati baseball. I did get a chance to meet him one time at Riverfront in Cincinnati. And it was a real pleasure. It's just one of those guys that you hear about and know that they're, you know, you got all of Ohio and a good chunk of the Midwest, you know, listen to this guy's every word, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, he doesn't mince words.
Right.
That's what's made him very special. So, yeah, he's one of the legends of baseball. And he said 31 years, he and Joe Nuxall were in the booth together. Only Vin Scully and Jerry Doggett exceeded the 31 years of Joe Nuxall, the old left-hander, and Marty Brenneman. How about that?
Yeah, that was my crew, Vin Scully and Jerry Doggett. That seemed like that would never end. But, yeah, that's, you know, Kruko and Kiper. You know, these when it works, you don't ever want to let it go.
You know, it's funny, Adam, you agree or disagree on this one, but you know, you get Krug and Kipe and John and Dave. I'm not, and I say this honestly, I'm not sure there's a better foursome in baseball today.
You're probably right.
I don't think ever. I mean, I always try to pay attention to who's doing what, and you get to travel, you know, on your beat writing days, and you hear you pay attention to the highlights every night. Quick Pitch is great because you can actually hear some of the calls that are made. But to be four deep, I mean, Dave Fleming, you know, ESPN would love to swoop him up to just do everything under the sun. Everything he does is great, you know. And he's the number four guy. That's incredible.
Well, and Bruce, Miller, Tev Kipe, who was a player, as a play-by-play guy, is unheard of.
Yeah, he's to me, the best former player on play-by-play doing television or radio, for that matter, that there's ever been. I mean, most of those guys, almost all of them are analysts, and, of course, Kruko is the analyst extraordinaire. And what I love about John is that he loves doing radio. He cherishes what radio means to fans. You know, there's a lot of fans who every game for them is radio.
I'd like to hear Kipe and Mike Shannon. Do a game together. Get up. Get up. Get up, baby. Get up.
Yeah. Or Ken Harrelson. Oh, dad, come it. Let's get something started here.
Or Euchre.
Euchre. That'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah, boy, it's great. It's the best part of baseball, isn't it, Bruce? It's the writing, and you guys are wonderful, the written word. But to hear the story being told to you every day, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. When I did the research on the Dodgers and Yankees coming to town and the fact that New York had all these future Hall of Fame broadcasters, you know, Mel Allen, Red Barber, Vin Scully, Russ Hodges, you know, and John Sterling, the Yankee guy, said, when I was growing up, I wasn't arguing about Mays, Snyder, you know, who's the greatest, and Mickey Mantle. He said, well, who's the best announcer in this town? That was a great argument, too. And, of course, in this town, you have, you know, Kipe's brother across the bay. He does a great job. But to have four deep like that is a real treasure. And, you know, it doesn't seem to be ending soon. Fleming seems very much attached to the Giants. He's not knocking down the door, make himself a pain in the butt like I need more work. And he does get his ESPN work, so it seems to work pretty well.
Vlad Jr. comes in here on Tuesday and Wednesday hitting about 140, but he hit a ball yesterday. I don't know if I mentioned it to you or not, 119 miles an hour. And it's the hardest hit ball in Stanton this year and the hardest hit ball ever for a Blue Jay.
You look at this guy, and you can't believe that he hasn't broken out yet. It's going to be scary when he does. It's going to be like Acuna or Soto just breaking through where all of a sudden you want to watch every game that he's playing. There's no way he's going to be in the 100s, and he did get two hits last night. You know, we might see the big breakthrough here. And he's playing some pretty good third base. Yeah. I don't see all their entire games, but he's made some really good plays over there. So, yeah, that's a great thing about them coming in right now.
The Braves put Acuna in the leadoff spot. Maybe the best player in baseball. He's now leading off for the Braves, and he's doing great. And Ryu, he's got 45 strikeouts and two walks. And he's eclipsed the mark of Candy Cummings of 1875.
Well, you know, who could forget the time you and I had candy in the dugout? Gosh, that was magical.
Candy Maldonado.
Oh, that's right. It was Maldonado.
Casey Candel. All right. That's as far as I go with that. Hey, Bruce.
They're comparing Ryu to Maddox now, which is a little much for me. But, I mean, the numbers are astounding. So that's a great one.
Yeah, unbelievable, really. And 45-2. And you got to go back to, you know, the 1800s to find something like that. Crazy. All right. Well, have a good afternoon. What's on your tap? What's on tap for you this afternoon?
Well, I got to tell you, the NBA rules today. I mean, two game sevens, one of which determines who the Warriors are going to play, Denver or Portland, and then you got the Philly-Toronto game. So that's fantastic. But the Giants are always on our table, and we'll get around to the A's later. So pretty cool.
Good. Who gives the Warriors more trouble, Denver or Portland?
Portland. They dominated Denver. They just about laughed at them. Cousins is the only guy I've seen who just clearly outplayed Jokic.
He bullied him.
Dame Lillard, God, you never know what he's going to pull off. He's an Oakland guy. I think Portland's a bigger challenge, but we'll see.
All right. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you next weekend. Thanks, Bruce.
Okay,
take care.
Thanks a million.
Have a good week. All right. That is the wonderful Bruce Jenkins. More coming up?
Yeah.
KMBR 680, the sports leader.